Hello and welcome to The Bond, the Christian podcast for purposeful and peaceful parenting. We want to understand children's hearts, reach parents' hearts, and see God with new eyes. Five young Christian moms started this podcast in September 2020 in Germany.
We wish you God's blessings as you listen to our episode about the fourth stage of attachment. At the moment, we are in a series about the attachment levels according to Gordon Neufeld. They explain how children bond deeper from year to year. We are attachment beings. That's how God made us, and our children live from the bond with their closest attachment figures. The better the bond with our children, the better children can develop the potential that God has placed in them. They can thus grow into mature people. We have already covered the first three stages of attachment. In the first year of life, children bond through the senses by being close to us. In the second, through equality or sameness. Then it is belonging and loyalty. And in the fourth year of life, the child begins to bond through appreciation or esteem. Be sure to listen to the other levels if you haven't already, because this topic is closely interwoven with the others. Today we'll talk about what it means to bond via appreciation or esteem. Then we'll give some practical tips on how you can live appreciation in your everyday life. And finally, we'll take a look at how God lives appreciation towards us, His creation. So let's get started. What does it mean that a child bonds through appreciation and being seen? When children enter this stage around their third birthday, they want to be special to you. They want to be seen by you. They thrive on you stopping the world for them and taking time for them. You can also call this level the look level, because that's what the child wants. Children in this stage keep calling you to them, shouting, "Look, Mommy, look, Daddy." And sometimes they will add something like, "But you must look for a long time, really long." And then while they present what they are doing, they check to make sure you are really looking for a long time and that your gaze doesn't wander. It is totally important for them to be seen in their ability. They are becoming more independent and want to be given tasks that they can do. Parents are no longer allowed to do everything, but they can rather ask their children for help, because that's how they feel seen and understood. They want our undivided attention and be sure that we enjoy being with them. Often, they want to sit on our laps and we can tell things to them like, "Oh, that feels so good to cuddle with you right now. You're doing me good." Or, "Hey, Terry, do you actually know what my heart calls out when it thinks of you?" "Nah, what?" "It's calling Yahoo!" And then they beam and laugh. They want to know you're enjoying them. Children want to be loved for their own sake and not because they do something special for it. If they have to make an effort to be seen, then they cannot find the peace they so urgently need in order to develop and grow. Because then the child will always have to do attachment work. We should give them more love and appreciation than they can take, and as often as possible we should give it to them before they ask for it. The challenge concerning the attachment level of esteem is that the child becomes extremely vulnerable starting with stage 4. A child who wants to be important to you becomes all the more vulnerable when this does not happen. If a child seeks the closeness, admiration, sympathy of an adult, they are the more hurt if they do not get it. A child who wants to show an adult something that he or she is very enthusiastic about will feel set back if the adult hardly shows any reaction. It can quickly become the case that if a child does not feel welcome in a relationship, he or she will feel that something is wrong with him or herself. But for a child's self-esteem to have a stable foundation, our appreciation must not be tied to performance. We celebrate our children and enjoy them because they are our children. Nothing can shake that. It is totally important to understand that 3 to 4 year old children use a caregiver as a psychological mirror to reflect their own emerging identity. As the adults react to the child begins to see himself or herself, especially if those reactions are intense. If the parents enjoy the child and the child feels that he or she is valuable and loved, then he or she will think positively about himself or herself. But if adults call the child difficult, scold him a lot, and constantly mention the negative, then the child thinks worse of himself. In the following, I would like to explain to you why this is so, using the 4 years model. This model says that a sender's message can be received in 4 different ways: with the factual information ear, the appeal ear, the relationship ear, and the self-revelation ear. What does that mean exactly? For example, you are sitting at the dinner table with your family. You go to get something from the refrigerator, come back, and your toddler has spread the food all over his face and next to his plate. Now you say, "What a mess that is." Let's see how this can come across to your child. The factual information ear hears, "It's a mess. It is dirty." The appeal ear hears, "You have to clean that up right now." The relationship ear hears, "I'm mad at you. What's wrong with you that you do something like that?" The self-revealing ear hears, "I don't like dirt and disorder." Children usually listen with the relationship ear because bonding is their greatest need. They don't understand indirect appeals, so if you want to make an announcement, it has to be clearly put. The relationship ear understands, "Something is wrong with me. I am wrong. I am bad," although the child has no bad intention at all. Children act impulsively, think little about the consequences, and thus do not pursue bad intentions. However, they can quickly get the impression that they are weird because they are constantly messing up. And yes, it is challenging as parents to have so much patience. And yet, we don't want our kids to think of themselves as bad. And that can happen faster than we'd like. That doesn't mean we tolerate everything. It means we watch our language. Much better would be to say, "Oh, I see the food is now on the table and not on the plate. I like the food to stay on the plate because I like order. Come on, let's clean it up, and then I'm sure you'll manage to keep the food on the plate." If it annoys you that the food is on the table and you have to let off steam, describe what you're looking at and tell your child, "Phew, you put the food on the table. You just wanted to play something, didn't you? It annoys me when it's so dirty because I want it to be clean. That's important to me. Come on, let's clean everything up now." The message got through. You've made your point without unconsciously becoming hurtful and evoking a sense of "something isn't right with me." Words have great power. Our words reveal what we think. And our thoughts are not always nice. Our children adopt our thought processes about themselves. From this, a great many negative beliefs can form. "I am not valuable enough. It's not enough until it's perfect. I am not talented. I'm weak and I can't do it. I'm not important. I'm stupid. I'm unathletic. I'm a troublemaker. I'm exhausting. I must always be clean." These thoughts develop into their self-image. These are their beliefs about themselves that they run around with until they discover them deep inside, dig them out, and transform them into new ones. Unfortunately, for many, this transformation never happens. This process takes a lot of patience, understanding, and time. Children perceive what we think about them and how we speak to them and derive their identity from that. That is why it's so important to practice positive language. We can call things that have gone wrong by their names in an appreciative way without condemning our children. This takes practice and it is a learning process. Here's another example of what words can do. You're preparing dinner in the kitchen and your 3-year-old comes up to you and excitedly wants to show you something. You just say, "I don't have time right now." Or you look for half a second and quickly say, "Great," so you can move on. At this age, kids are craving for your eyes to shine as much as theirs. Their hunger for appreciation is enormous because they are just forming their identity and feel connected to you through appreciation. This stage is a new, intense, and sensitive one. If this kind of rejection is occurring more often, the message can get through, "I'm not worthy of mom listening to me properly." This sentence sticks in the heart and can accompany children into their adulthood. "I'm not worth it. I'm not important enough." Our undivided attention and appreciation is important for a lifetime, and it is like balm for the soul. It means stopping activities, looking into the eyes, and consciously listening. That's what we all want, for our loved ones to listen to us like that. And our children wish the same. How can I give my children this appreciation? Really take the time to look as much as you can when your child asks you to. Stop the march of time for your children now and then. Let them really feel your interest, and they will become more and more saturated with appreciation so that they won't call out, "Look, Mommy, look, Daddy," nonstop. It is even better to go and see what your children are up to before they ask you to. Deliberately immerse yourself in your child's world. Enjoy participating. Let yourself be enthusiastic about it. Ask what he or she is doing right now without wanting to judge it right away. Invite your child to be part of your world and to help with your tasks. As far as possible, let them complete tasks independently, because children at this age can already do a lot and do not always want to be just a helper. Give your child household tasks for which you always call the child. This can be taking the trash bags to the trash can, using the dustbuster, or setting the table. Children at this age like to take responsibility and show what they can already do. Always keep in mind, your child is a child. They cannot yet continuously take responsibility like an adult. However, they grow into greater responsibility every day by your example and love. Notice what your children like to eat, what they play, what they are happy about, and offer them these things before they even ask for them. Show them that you think about them and see what they need. This is emotionally recharging. One boy always said in such situations, "You just looked into my head," and he was thrilled. Help your child get dressed, eat, etc., if he or she asks for it, even if they can already do it themselves. Do not use words like "always," "never," "all the time," "only." "You never listen to me." "You're messing around all the time." "You're always hitting your sister." These are trash can phrases and have the opposite effect on our children of what we want. Show understanding. Try to understand why your child is acting the way he or she is. There are always needs behind it, and there is nothing wrong with having needs. These can be different. Need for play and fun, need for rest, need for belonging, autonomy, attention, closeness, movement, and many others. Our children learn to express their needs properly only when we give them words for it. They have a lively emotional life that simply overtakes them and sometimes goes from one extreme to the other, because at the bottom of these are fulfilled or unfulfilled needs. They need adults to give them vocabulary for their feelings and needs, because it makes such a life-changing difference when the child feels understood. And think about it, how good does it feel for us too when someone understands us and does not immediately interpret, reprimand, or condemn our words, our behavior, and ourselves? Behind every action are feelings and needs. These need to be understood, and then it is much easier to find suitable alternatives for action. For example, Loretta is playing with her brother's soap bubble container, blowing bubbles, and she hasn't asked him beforehand. Each child has their own container, but Loretta unfortunately just accidentally dumped hers in the garden. So she would have to ask her brother, but she didn't. Henry comes into the garden and snatched the container out of her hand. Loretta cries. What happened? Who's in the right? Let's take care of Henry first. Tell him. You just snatched the bubbles out of Loretta's hand. Were you upset that she didn't ask you? Him. Yes. You. You like to decide for yourself whether to give away your bubbles? Him. Yes. You. Good. They are yours after all. I understand that. At the same time, we said we're not snatching anything out of each other's hands. We talked to each other. Then you turned to Loretta. Loretta, you just had fun and wanted to blow bubbles. Her. Yes. You. And Henry took them away from you. Her. Yes. You. I see. You don't like things being snatched out of your hand. You want to give things away yourself. At the same time, these are Henry's bubbles, and he would like us to ask him. Come on, let's give this another try. When children feel understood, even toddlers, they will listen openly. This is how they learn social interaction. They don't learn from reproaches. Then they only learn, I'm wrong, I'm bad. And quite honestly, a reproach doesn't motivate us adults either to reflect upon our words or deeds. Empathy and understanding, that's what we need in our communication. Psychotherapist Gunda Frey writes, understanding is the ability to leave my knowledge, my thinking, my experience behind me, and to empathize with the thinking and the world of experience of the other person. After this lengthy digression on how to show understanding, onward in our list of how to show appreciation to children. See your child's feelings. Don't ignore them and don't just deflect them. We as adults have in many places forgotten to allow feelings and to show them in front of others. When children are seen in their emotional life, they learn that they are okay and can trust themselves. If children are sad about something, address the pain. If children are afraid of something, address the fear. If they are angry, address why. We don't make anything worse by doing this. We are embracing the feeling with the need behind it, and we show our children how to deal with their strong feelings. Of course, we may cheer our children up, but this step comes after being seen and understood. Sentences like, that's not so bad. You don't have to cry. Snap out of that. Get a hold of yourself. Just show children that their feelings are wrong and that they cannot trust them. They forget how to feel. Appreciate your child even when you have to have a serious talk with him. I love you always, no matter what you do. I don't want you to do that. We don't hit. Especially when our kids mess up, they need reassurance that we stand by them. We love them no matter what they do. Affirm your child because they are just forming their own identity. They want and need to hear, experience, and learn that they are good the way they are and do things great. Validation means encouraging, acknowledging, affirming, and supporting your child, not praising. See the progress your child is making and verbalize it. Wow, today you climbed really high. Yesterday you couldn't do that. I'm so happy. Describe precisely what your child has achieved instead of drowning everything in greats and fantastics. As often as possible, tell your child phrases like, you can do it. I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm glad you're here. I believe in you. I know that most parents think this way about their children. The question is whether they actually say these sentences, no matter how old the children are, because unsaid words also leave their traces. Children's hearts want to hear such sentences in order to feel valuable. This makes them strong for life. These were some tips on how you can live your everyday life in an appreciative way. We all need this way of dealing with each other. If you did not get appreciation of this kind during your childhood, adolescence, and later, you probably have a deep hole inside of you that longs for appreciation, recognition, and being seen. A very deep hole in many false beliefs about yourself that control you subconsciously. We are often not even aware of this, and only in difficult situations or crises these beliefs surface. If you long for appreciation and feel deep pain over and over again when you don't get it, then this can prevent you from living appreciation because you yourself are thirsting for it. Claudia has just tidied up the living room and is proud and content that the cushions are finally lined up nicely on the sofa again. Her son Eric, who is 4, comes into the living room and throws all the cushions down on the floor again, because it's fun for him and he wants to play with the cushions on the floor. Claudia is very annoyed about this. This can have different reasons. Her need for order, for self-determination, or even appreciation can be in want now. There are many situations like this in everyday life. The frustration that our children do not see all that we do for them. Cooking the food laboriously, decorating the vegetable plate, but our child just takes a look and tells us, "I won't eat that." Gratitude is a precious value. Our children learn gratitude by our example, but they are not responsible for satisfying our needs. We help them learn to reflect on their behavior by telling them what their behavior triggers in us. "I've cleaned everything up and was happy that everything is clean, and now it's all a mess again." That frustrates me because tidiness is important to me. And it frustrates me because I would have liked to hear, "How nice, now it's tidy," or even "Thank you." And even when thinking about this last sentence, "I would have liked to hear, how nice, now it's tidy, thank you," we realize how much we are asking of our immature children. Our children are not responsible for feeding our needs. We are the adults, and of course we say what annoys us, but we should not expect too much from our children. They learn to be appreciative through our example. It may be that you are not used to dealing with others in such an appreciative way, and you have to learn it first. Take small steps. Set yourself small goals. Because we are only human, and changes only happen if we stick to it and don't overreach ourselves in our goals. Remember that true change is only possible when God heals our inner wounds and gives us the appreciation we all so desperately need. God values us much more than we can grasp. For example, a children's Bible translates Zephaniah 3:17 as follows: "The Lord, your strong God and your hero, is with you. He looks at you and rejoices because you are so great. He is at a loss for words because he loves you so much. Loudly he shouts, 'Hooray!' when he thinks of you." God shouts, "Hooray!" because he thinks you are great? Isn't this a great thought? God approaches us with all his appreciation. God sees us as we are and loves us because we are his children. He never withdraws his love from us. When the people of Israel committed sins, he pointed out the consequences to them very clearly. And in the midst of these clear announcements, he declared his affection and love, as in Jeremiah 31:3, "I have ever loved you, therefore I have drawn you to myself out of goodness." This goodness is always there. For us, God gave the most precious thing he possessed, his son, because he wants to have us with him, because we are worth so much to him. When Jesus was on earth, love, mercy, and compassion were manifested in every action. His heart overflowed with intimate compassion for the children of men. He took on the nature of man to serve their needs. The people around him felt the warmth, for even little children sought his nearness and enjoyed sitting with him on his lap. Jesus himself did not withhold a single word of truth, but he always said it in love. He treated people with the utmost delicacy and was always mindful, kind, and attentive. He was never rough, never spoke a harsh word, or caused unnecessary pain to a sensitive soul. He did not rebuke human weakness. He told the truth, yet always lovingly. Christian author Ellen White writes these words in the book Steps to Christ. Psalm 62 says, "Hope in him always, dear people. Pour out your heart before him. God is our confidence. We can tell God everything, our feelings, thoughts, desires, really anything. And he takes us seriously. He doesn't minimize anything. He understands. And this feels so healing, not to be judged, not to be belittled, to be significant in his eyes. And out of being understood, we can grow, become open to new perspectives. Detach yourself from old thought processes, hurtful experiences, and let God tell you, you are valuable, you are loved, you are great, you have potential. You are beautiful because you come from my hand. I am with you. I make you strong. We are always connected. With God, all negative beliefs about ourselves dissolve, and He gives us new beliefs about ourselves that are so healing that we become new people. The topic of appreciation is a challenging one. Unfortunately, in many places, we convey messages that we don't really want to send. Our children sense this. Children in stable families usually pass through the first three attachment levels of closeness, equality and belonging and loyalty quite reliably. From the fourth stage of attachment on, things get more complicated because children have to show themselves more vulnerable in order to be able to complete levels 4 to 6 and then often do not feel seen, valued and loved. No parent means any harm when this happens. Rather, it is an automatism that we ourselves have often carried within us since childhood. That's why it's all the more wonderful that we can become more sensitive in our dealings with each other every day. One negative word needs 10 positive ones to make up for it. Beautiful it would be if we could find more appreciative words in our everyday life and thus stay in loving contact with each other. For Jesus said, "He who abides in me and I in him abides in my love." Our next episode will cover the fifth stage of attachment, love. Join us again and realize more and more how you can have a fulfilling relationship with your children and with God.
If you have enjoyed this episode, feel free to share it with others. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Bond Podcast, and also follow us on Instagram under the same name. We also appreciate any feedback via the email address, thebond@mail.de.